podcast to support your spiritual revolution. I'm your host, Kara Goodwin, and I'm so excited for you to hear this episode with Dean Graves. I was so interested to learn that the sixth dimensional entity that he works with is the same one from the raw material. I know there are many of you listening who have engaged with the raw material, and if you haven't heard of it, then I'm guessing that the time for you to explore it is nigh. Dean is a spiritual teacher and author focusing on self-healing and personal growth. His deep commitment to personal growth and enlightenment has led him to spend the last 12 years as a devoted student of a sixth density creator being entity. His latest manuscript promises to be a groundbreaking exploration of the nature of the universe and the human experience. Dean is a wealth of esoteric knowledge, and he talks about these complex topics in a very down-to-earth and approachable way. There's big, deep info in this episode about the nature of reality and how awareness levels relate to which density or dimension you're in. I loved what he had to share about children born from about 2005 onwards. So we'll dive right into all of that, but first I've got something special to share with you. Are stress, sleep issues, or anxiety holding you back? Let me introduce Moonbird, your personal breathing coach. This sweet little companion just rests in your hand, guiding you through rejuvenating breathing exercises. Moonbird turns meditation from abstract to accessible, making calm breaths a seamless part of your daily routine. Its brilliant design offers a revolutionary approach to mindful breathing. With Moonbird, you can experience improved sleep quality, longer sleep duration, improved daytime functioning, ability to fall asleep faster, and feeling better rested upon waking. Use the link in my show notes and the code Kara Goodwin for 5% off your order. And now, enjoy this episode. So welcome, Dean. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I look forward to our conversation.
Me too. So I think it's best to just start by talking about your spiritual journey and what led you to becoming a student of a sixth density creator being entity.
Interesting question. Yeah.
Take it with whatever way you feel called.
Okay. Well, my spouse led me to spirituality. We both awakened at the same time. And I'll go into a little bit more detail with you because you have a background in this that I would probably be more reluctant to do with someone else. But my spouse was very, shall we say, connected. And she died in 2011. But prior to that, she knew her origins. And we both became enamored with the raw material, which is a series of channelings that the LL research people did in 1980. And so we went through that introductory phase of we got the first book and said, oh my God, oh my God. And then we couldn't wait for the next book to be delivered and so forth. Well, we went all through the books and that's proved to be a really good, and we got to know the LL research people quite well.
Kidding. Wow.
Yeah. And so we go up and visit them and go out to dinner and that kind of stuff. And it was very helpful to have that personal communication with them and to establish a rapport. And my spouse and I both did some channeling training with Carla, which is the principal channel. And so that was very helpful to refine what we were doing and what after my spouse died, a funny story. She knew who her higher self was and was communicating with her higher self quite frequently on a daily basis. And I couldn't make connection with my higher self, which was really frustrating. And so she came in, I was working on the computer one day, and she came in and said, well, I know who your higher self is. And I said, oh, okay, all right, who's my higher self? And she had tried to write, she didn't know how to spell it. And she had written on the piece of paper, my higher self. And she meant to write Yahweh, but she spelled it like Yahooey. And I first got a big laugh out of that. And I said, no, I want another higher self. I don't want Yahooey as my higher self. And so she got a little offended by that. But it's a funny story, and we laughed about it for a long time after that. But that wasn't my higher self. And so after she died, as a matter of fact, the day after she died, and I just had this voice, and the voice said, "I'm your higher self." And I knew who it was. It was her.
That gives me so many chills.
It was her.
It was her.
Yeah, she was my higher self. And God, come on, really? And so we had a big laugh. And so the first thing that I did when I found out it was her is I apologized for all those teenage years. I was dumb, I was stupid, I didn't know any better. Forgive me, I know I made it hard on you. But
So you guys had been together for a really long time. Were you with her as a person when you were a teenager?
No.
Or do you just meet your
know her.
As a
it, that was it, later in life, it was arranged that we would be together later in life.
I see. So I thought you meant that you were apologizing to her and what you guys had gone through in your teenage years.
No, what I went through in my teenage years, but she was my higher self, so she was trying to guide me as a higher self. I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize."
Yeah. You weren't the first teenager a higher self had seen.
I have no doubt of that. But that notwithstanding, it was a funny story. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So do you want to share where she was from? I feel the listeners, like, where was she from?
Well, she's from what's referred to as the RAW group. So the RAW entity
it
was communicating with LL Research was her social memory complex.
Wow.
She was from the RAW group.
That's amazing. I'm familiar. I've listened to the first book. It's incredible. The fact that this was in the 70s or the 80s?
Early 80s.
And then the intel that came through is just phenomenal, particularly thinking about it's stuff we hear about more now.
Mm-hmm.
But for the three of them to have been pulling in that level of information that there are not communities then talking about vibration and thoughts and frequency, and it was and just the physical way that they were having to manipulate themselves to get into that channeling state more. Now you see people like slipping in and out of it more easily without having to go through the whole like ritual and moving things like incrementally and so forth. But
I've learned since that was puzzling to me as well, that the connection had to be so sensitive for Carla to make the connection. And in talking to the Arcturians, they explained that the primary reason they had to do that was because Carla had such physical difficulties that it was difficult for her to maintain that high level of vibration in order to make that connection. The instrument that works with me to communicate with the Arcturians doesn't have that problem, and our conversation is just like you and I talking. It's very relaxed, it's very free-flowing, and none of that necessary preparation is done.
Okay. Well, so is the RAW group, are they Arcturians? I can't remember if they even identified that.
RAW is one of five archetypes of the Creator.
Okay.
And so RAW is pervasive to all of creation, as are the other four archetypes. So RAW is simply one aspect of the Creator. RAW is the aspect of love. And the other four archetypes are awareness, wisdom, unity, and stillness. And so they all participate, and we are all of these archetypes. But the progression through evolution is a hierarchy. And we are in third density. We are sharing a third density experience. And our task in this level of consciousness is to become awareness, which is the foundation. We have to become aware before we can explore the other aspects. And in this range of consciousness, we're simply building the foundation for our future evolution.
Mm. Are there names for the other four?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in each of the stars, a nine-star system is how our universe has expanded. So wherever there is an expansion of the universe, it is expanded in groups of nine. Each star is home to an archetype. There are five inherent characteristics and four distortions that comprise our universe. In other universes exist, there are a total of 32 distortions and inherent characteristics. And so other universes are comprised of mixing and matching those combinations in order to diversify the experiences of creation. Ra is the archetype of love. Law is the is our sun is the home to law. Law is wisdom.
L-A or L-A-W? Okay.
No, just L-A. Ra is R-A.
Yeah.
Law is L-A, and that is wisdom. That is our sun is the star home for that. Ra's home is Sirius B, which is part of our nine-star system. And I have in my books, I don't recall the direct association with the stars and the archetypes, but the Ka is movement, or actually the lack of movement, it's stillness.
Is that and K-A?
K-A, just K-A. And Saw is awareness, and wisdom is...
Well, wisdom is law, right?
Well, law, yeah,
is that
wisdom
word?
Is law. We already said that. I'm forgetful of the other one. But at any rate, yeah, they all have names, and then the distortions have names. Melchizedek is free will, and so that's one of the nine that pervades all of creation. So it participates in every universe. We have three distortions other than free will, and Ta is separation, which is an enhanced separation from free will. Da is movement, and Lucifer, which is actually unconsciousness. And these elements that or add the aspects that comprise our experience in this universe, design an archetypical mind that governs how we process thought. Consequently, it guides us in how we process thought and how we evolve. Other archetypical minds exist based on other combinations or slight deviations from our archetypical mind that diversifies the experience of consciousness going through the evolutionary process.
Wow. There's one in particular that stands out that kind of surprised me, which was the free will being a distortion.
Mm-hmm.
So is that because really ultimately through evolution we have the divine will, which is the true will, and then the free will is more of like our human egoic actions that aren't aligned with divinity?
It's not that complicated. Free will was the first distortion that began creation.
Okay.
The one infinite creator became aware and had a desire was to explore itself by experiencing itself. And in order to experience itself, if you're all that there is, it's difficult to experience yourself with any sort of diversity. And so the infinite creator projected, actually before it was infinite, projected two concepts, the first concept being infinity. The parallel concept was intelligence, which created the environment of intelligent infinity. And within that concept projected the concept of free will, which is the concept of separation, perception of separation, which created the first subject-object relationship because the originating one infinite creator was the creator as the object and the creator as the subject, which was the result of the projection of free will into this environment, was the creator as the subject. And so the creator as the subject is consciousness. And that aspect, which is conceptual, created all that we perceive to be creation, including ourselves. We are consciousness. Everything that we experience is consciousness. We are conceptual because of that creation of the creator as the subject. And so through that projection of separation, the creator as the object observes our behavior and learns of itself.
Mm. Okay. And so the free will is inherent in that process, and it's part of that separation.
It is the concept of, it's a perception of separation. And it's mm-hmm. only because of that perception of separation that the creator may interact with the creator as the subject to learn of itself.
Mm-hmm.
We perceive free will to be the choice of, well, I can go right or I can go left, but that's the product of our perception of separation. If we didn't perceive ourselves as separate, then there would be no choice.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever we decided would be it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Interesting. So I'm interested in the communications that you're having. You're regularly connecting with these sixth density beings at this point, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Have they given you any sort of indication about the evolution of the planet and humanity at this time?
Well, yeah, we've talked quite extensively about that. You may know from reading the raw material that third density has a defined beginning and a defined end. It's approximately 75, 76,000 years, but it, as Ra describes it, it's as regular as a clock. That, our previous experience, which was the fifth attempt of most of the Earth population to graduate, ended in February of 2016. And since then, the Gaia, the consciousness of the planet, is firmly in their fourth density experience. The third density population that remains, which includes us, is a residual of that third density population, and we will be permitted to fill out the rest of our lives. We're not going to be raptured off the earth or anything like that. We just live a natural lifetime to finish our experience of this third density. Almost all the children, the overwhelming majority of the children that have been born since 2005 are fourth density children. Mm-hmm. And so Earth has been determined to be a positive fourth density planet. Those children will continue on with the consciousness that the planet already is and have a fulfilling fourth density positive experience. Their difficulty right now is they're in transitional bodies, which means the third density body, which is very heavy, is transitioning to be more of an electric body, which is a fourth density body. And that will take a few generations to totally make that transition. But as they make that transition, as then the nature of their experience will increasingly change as they become more fully a fourth density incarnate experience. Mm. But so we're well on our way to being a fourth density planet. There is another planet that is being prepared within the solar system for another third density experience that the folks not graduating from the existing third density Earth experience would just simply transition to that new planet and continue with a new third density experience.
In terms of, and they would have new bodies, so this would be part of the natural cycle. They would naturally,
Right.
And so do you see that people who were born prior to that 2005, you said most of the children who have been born since then are fourth density?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see an evolution of people, like adults, who are evolving quickly physically as well?
No. The adults, we adults, are going to finish off our existence here with a third density body. There's not going to be any magic involved with that. Whatever we do to our bodies or however we treat it is how it's going to be. And we'll just finish it. We'll finish a lifetime and go through the assessment process after we die and then either graduate or not graduate. Regrettably, I think the graduation will be very small, but I don't have any specifics on that, mm-hmm. but just my observation of our existence. I think it would be relatively small. There are some third density beings that are incarnating along with the fourth density children, but they are of the they're on the verge of graduating. And so the hope is that the affiliation with the Fourth Density children will push them over the top so they can graduate to Fourth Density and not have to continue on with the Third Density experience. But their nature, if they were simply participating in Third Density, it would be evident that they are of a higher awareness, higher consciousness.
Okay. And it's interesting how much you talk about the Fourth Density, because I find there is a lot of focus on 5D in terms of it. A lot of people talk about that Earth is going from 3D to 5D and that the Fourth Density is a transitional state that we are already in, which is what you're saying, that the Earth is already in there. But a lot of people are focusing on third to five. Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, you don't. Fourth Density is, in Third Density, our task is to become awareness. And included to that, there is a curriculum to advance through the evolutionary process. The Third Density curriculum is pretty basic. We begin in what is described as primordial darkness, which just simply means we don't know anything and we're in total chaos. And our task is to evolve, which means we experience an awful lot of what we don't like through chaotic periods, the lower, simply called dimensions of the density. And these are incremental. And it's like you had a chart, and you measure, I'm this tall at this age, I'm at this tall at that age. And so you put little marks, and we graduate through that until we awaken. And awakening is nothing more than the awareness that all this stuff that I've been doing isn't making me happy. I'm not happy. And that's all there is to an awakening. At that point, of course, you have a choice to either stay in the chaotic stage, or you can begin looking around to see what all other alternatives there are and begin to explore, hopefully, a more spiritual path that would elevate your awareness. And the distinction between these levels is the degree of awareness, which is our task in Third Density, and also the surrendering of our free will. Free will functions as an intoxicant, just like whiskey. The more you drink whiskey, the less aware you become. And so free will does that same thing. So when we are very intoxicated with free will, our awareness is very low. And as we assume responsibility for our evolutionary process, then we are surrendering our free will intoxication. The distinction between a fourth entity being and a third entity being is the degree of free will intoxication, which they have surrendered because of elevated awareness.
Interesting. Okay. What are your thoughts about what happens when we die?
Well, as Ra describes it, and I don't have direct recollection of this, when we die, we transition. We exist simultaneously, and I try to teach this in a meditative process to my meditation students. We simultaneously exist in both a metaphysical form and the physical form. Our metaphysical form is a consciousness pattern. And it is cumulative, and it only begins to be cumulative in Third Density. In other words, the first two densities do not preserve their experiences, their foundational densities, they're nondescript, and they simply provide the opportunity for a planetary experience, incarnate experience for third, fourth, and fifth density.
So that's really interesting. Sorry to interrupt you for a second,
sure.
But are you familiar with Dolores Cannon's work?
Sure, yeah.
So she has a number of references in her books of people who remember being like a stone or a huge boulder on a planet or a tree that's hundreds or thousands of years old, which I think of as those lower densities. But I was really shocked when I started coming across those stories of people being these immovable objects. So it's interesting to think about that, because that would be a memory that they hold of being that.
Yeah, and I would explain that in a different way. What Dolores did, and I've met several people that Dolores has hypnotized and done a regression with. Mm-hmm. And they're all wanderers. A wanderer is, my spouse was a wanderer. My instrument that I work with now is a wanderer. There are lots of wanderers. Wanderers is a higher consciousness being, usually sixth density, that's their metaphysical self. They project an analog projection, just as we are, into third density to be of assistance. And so the sixth density perspective is they feel all of what we experience. And I don't know, I would doubt very seriously that an entity that is a third density being has any recollection of a first or second density experience, because the experiences aren't retained and you begin third density in primordial darkness, which simply means you wipe out, you're a clean slate. You have nothing to contaminate your experiences with prior experiences. And you evolve through third density. So what you experience in third density is preserved as your consciousness pattern. And that is your enduring self. And so we project from that consciousness pattern analog projections of ourself into physical form to have a variety of experiences. The average human on Earth has had over 3,000 incarnations, and some as many as 8,000. And so the purpose of that is to diversify our experience and to allow us to assimilate and accumulate experiences being incarnate in a variety of different forms and lifetimes in order to mature our consciousness pattern.
Okay. And do you have a sense if you're a wanderer?
I do. Yes.
Do you want to share that?
Well, I am. I mean, you know, most of the folks I work with know that, and most of the folks I work with are wanderers too, so. Yeah. I have some recollections of that. I know my past lives, what function I have provided in those. And my purpose for being here is simply to be a messenger and to deliver information. And so that's what I do with my time, is I communicate, expand my understanding, and present it from a third density perspective. From the raw material, you can discern that a sixth density's direct communication is very stilted for the most part, because they're not in the density, and it's difficult for most folks to understand that and comprehend that, because it's so contradictory to their hegemonies that they have incorporated into their identity. And my purpose, I'm an analog projection, as you are, of my metaphysical self. I'm a third density being. I have no magic or anything of that sort, and I'm just here to deliver information.
Mm-hmm. And it's when you talk about remembering your previous lives, do you remember being on Earth? Do you remember being, or is it Earth plus other places, or are there no earthly memories for you?
No, I have some. After my spouse died and I began this educational process, this learning process, then my higher self was very helpful in providing me with opportunities to gain comfort with my perspectives. And I was presented with spirits to chat with that I would know, as well as having some recollections of my previous lives, not only as a human, as a person, but recounting some history to other planets and things of that nature. And in our present day, we have for quite some time had fourth density participants participating in our planetary experience, but incarnating as whales or dolphins. And whales and dolphins have been, not all of them, but a large numbers of them have been fourth density. And so I had an interesting experience long before I was awake, when I was still very much in this chaotic period, and I was learning to scuba dive. And so I went to Mexico and was going to take my first big ocean dive. And the group went out in a John boat, which was intimidating at the time.
What is that?
It's a small boat. It was a big John boat, but it was a small boat, and we were only about, the railings of the boat were only about 5 or 6 inches above the waterline.
Oh my goodness, wow.
Yeah, so it was like we were going out in a pond, but we were actually going out in the ocean. So we went 20 miles out to this huge white rock, and while we were going out there, we suddenly were surrounded by this huge pod of dolphins. The dive master goes out every day, and he said it's the largest group of dolphins that he had ever seen. And we were completely surrounded by these dolphins that were doing their jumping thing. And they would roll over, come up to the boat and roll over and just look at us with their little eyeball and stuff. And you could pet them. They would let you pet them. And so I petted a couple of dolphins that rolled up. And then they all swam away, and these three whales came up.
What?
Yeah, these three huge whales, obviously a family. There was a baby whale with it. And
wow.
So they jumped along with this. And so we were just all in awe. The scuba diving became inconsequential after seeing all of that. So years later, just after my spouse had died and was communicating and all of this stuff, and I had the thought, and this is how you get this stuff, you had the thought. I remember that experience, and that was a very odd experience. And it was actually my higher self and me, and we were incarnate as the dolphins. Some of the dolphins, obviously not all of them, just a couple of the dolphins and the whales simultaneously.
That you experienced when you were in Mexico?
I experienced it in this form, so I had no association. I just, wow, this is great nature being here. But later, after I'd awakened, then it said, that was us. You and I were doing that in order to give you comfort as to the experience. And subsequent to that, I had other images and recollections of experience and meditation of swimming in the, going down deep in the ocean and that sort of stuff. Yeah, I used to get visions like that and experiences all intended to provide me comfort with who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing.
Wow. It's just fantastic. I just love talking to you and getting your perspective. Is there anything that you feel that the entity that you work with, the sixth dimensional entity, would like to share?
The encouragement to do the work, to awaken, to explore yourself, to heal yourself. And almost in all the episodes that we're discussing with the Arcturians, the podcast is Chatting with the Arcturians. And the most recent episode was talking about hallucinogenics and how they can be used in order to heal mental illness and conditions that we have imposed upon ourselves. But the process of evolution is not, it's difficult to do, but it's not difficult to understand. And the process is to heal the emotional baggage that we have collected, which is nothing more than the experiences that we have had in our lifetime that we did not learn the lessons that were brought to us. And we get to carry those lessons. That's the curriculum that I had alluded to earlier that is part of our experience. That's how we fulfill the curriculum, is learning the lessons that are brought to the experiences that we have, to heal that emotional baggage, which means we're learning the lessons, and then to begin to surrender the erroneous beliefs that we have incorporated into our false identity or our hierophant, which we all create. We all have a false perception of ourselves. The whole process of evolution is the surrendering of that false perception of self, and in so doing, we allow our authentic self to emerge. We gain nothing through our evolutionary process, but we got to get rid of a lot of stuff that we've created. We already are awareness, love, wisdom, unity, and stillness. But we've buried that in the ground and covered it with a bunch of trash. And so in order to get to the gold that we buried, we have to get rid of the trash and take the gold out of the earth. And so I encourage all of your listeners that have any sort of spiritual interest, that is the path. It is not mysterious. It is not mystical. It is hard work because we have to get rid of this false perception of self, and it's who we think we are. And so it's fearful to, if I'm not who I think I am, then who am I? And that transition point is in multiple stages, and that's the night of darkness or whatever. That's nothing more than you're not who you think you are, but you haven't allowed yourself to realize who you really are yet. And that will progress in stages. But you are there. You are your authentic self, and the experiences are immutable for everyone. So when you experience it, you're experiencing what everyone else that has achieved that level of consciousness has experienced. And it's much more joyful than staying in the chaotic ranges that we have been so mired in for a long time.
Well, thank you for that. So share with us how people can connect with you and remind everybody what your podcast is. And
well, I have two podcasts. The one that is active is Chatting with the Arcturians, and we post to that regularly. And if people have questions that they would like to pose to the Arcturians, we'd be delighted to chat with them about that. I can be reached. I have a website at ddeangraves.org, and that has contact information and everything on that. I've written a number of books. I have a new book coming out in later this year, which is my compendium work that has all of this information. We explain the archetypical mind and the origins of creation, the densities, forgiveness, and a multitude of our other things. It is intended to be a comprehensive book, and I think really it includes almost all the information that was in the raw material with a lot more explanation in an understandable fashion.
I was going to say, I know that a lot of people have trouble with the raw material, and there are like study groups that try to help people to understand it. So I wondered if there was some companion to it that could help to level it a little bit more for people.
If you read the raw material, Don and Carla were learning as they went through. And so a lot of their questions are excellent questions, but they're somewhat disjointed because they were learning as they were going through it. Mm-hmm. And Raw intended it to be a primer. It wasn't supposed to be complete information. It was supposed to be a primer that you get the basic understanding. He said, maybe things aren't as real as I thought they were. And the same entity that I'm working with is the same entity that provided the raw material. And in the raw material, Raw talks about walking among the people. That was back during the Egyptian times, and it was the aspect of Raw that is known as Osiris. And so the Egyptian god that they deemed to be the god of the underworld was Raw that walked among the people and provided them with the Tarot, which is nothing more than a study book for the archetypical mind. But Ra didn't go into details with the archetypical mind, and Don didn't know to ask the details. Ra didn't get into any of the other archetypes because they weren't asked. We have to ask in order to get the answers, because if we ask, then they know we're ready for the information. If we don't know to ask, then they're not going to just say, this is what you need to know, because you're not necessarily ready for that information. Mm-hmm. And so they asked what they knew, and in reading through it, for a lot of folks, it seems disjointed. And part of what Kuo, their more recent communicant, is to provide more comfort, round out some of that informational experience. And it's still excellent information, but it's not informational like the raw material was. And the Arcturians are very didactic, and so the information they're providing coincides more closely with greater clarity than what Ra was able to provide with their instrument at the time.
Mm. Beautiful. I don't know that you actually said what your books are called.
Two books that I've written that are totally secular, that are designed towards helping people do the work to do the healing, and one is called Enlightenment Plain and Simple, and in that we overview the process of evolution and give some specific, easy-to-do, self-apply exercises that will help them heal. The next book is The Identity Model, which deals with suffering and stress and explains how and why we create this hierophant, this false perception of self, and how it manifests into different mental issues, everything from depression to jealousy, so forth, and how to heal from that, to understand that, and to have specific exercises that can be self-applied in the back of the book that will heal from that. And I know it works because I did it, and I've taught it to many people, and they've had the same result. I have another book that is an introductory, it's more easy to understand, called The Edifying Children of a Lesser God, and that is an introduction to all the raw type material, but not with great depth, because people need incremental steps. The book that's being published this year is called The Enigma of Consciousness, and it's a spiritual exploration of humanity's relationship to creation, and it is much deeper. If you're ready for it, fine, go for it. If you need incremental steps, then these other books will get you to that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Dean. I have really loved our conversation. Thanks for coming on today.
Sure, thank you. I appreciate your patience and listening.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to ask you for one quick favor, and that's to share this episode with one person who you think will benefit from it. Let them know you're thinking about them by sharing this episode with them right now. Thank you, and I look forward to the next meditation conversation.